Okay, well, thank you very much. What I'd like to do this afternoon is just visit with you about some work we're doing in Montana to look at organic carbon changes in soils in response to cropping systems. In terms of cropping system studies, these are still fairly young, so we're looking at 10-year changes. As the previous speaker noted, sometimes organic carbon levels change very slowly, and 10-year time frame for a cropping system study in response or in terms of looking at organic carbon changes is kind of a short time window. A little background about Montana. Montana is a semi-arid climate. Annual precipitation for most of our important crop growing areas is like 280 to 420 millimeters. Fallow wheat systems are the most common cropping system in the state of Montana. And annually we have about 1.3 million hectares of land that is in fallow. Since the last 20 to 25 years, we've undergone what I call a tillage reduction revolution in Montana, and no-till has now become the norm. And I know sometimes people talk about conventional till versus no-till. Well, in Montana, no-till is really conventional till, because that's the most common practice. Now, with no-till, there's been more opportunities for crop intensification, and crop intensification is intensifying in the state. And to this, one of the points I should make too in terms of this no-till revolution is that what has driven a lot of this has been the popularity of the current air seeders that are in place and also low-cost glyphosate. In terms of replacing fallow in Montana, one thing we've seen in the last 10 to 15 years, or 10 years, is that wheat and lentil production has grown by 10x in the last 15 years. And what's going on is there's an effort, as I mentioned, to intensify cropping systems, and this has been done by replacing those fallow systems with pulse crops. And pea and lentils are the two big crops that are being used to replace fallow. Back in the early 2000s, we had maybe 10, 20,000 acres, and now, or 10 to 20,000 hectares. Now projections for the future are we'll be going over a 500,000 hectares of pea and lentils. And again, these systems are being introduced to replace fallow in most cases. So one of our objectives then in this study was to determine what rate of soil accretion or change do we see in Montana's semi-arid climate as we migrate to more intensive cropping systems, specifically going from fallow wheat to annual systems. And in this case, the annual system we're most interested in is probably the pulse wheat system. There hasn't been a lot of soil organic carbon studies done in Montana, so we don't have a big database to go by, though neighboring regions, particularly in Canada, there are quite a few long-term cropping system studies. So we conducted studies beginning in 2002. We had two studies I'll be talking about. One study is located at the Montana State University Arthur Post Farm, which is right near campus, and another studies I'll be talking about is my on-farm studies. Some of these studies on the on-farm studies are no longer going on. They were terminated after 10 years. I want to talk about the post-farm study that was conducted. That's our MSU post-farm study. That was conducted on Amsterdam silt loam. It's a low soil. The annual precipitation at the Lowe's farm is about 410 millimeters. Again, our study was initiated in fall of 2002. We had a number of cropping systems in place at that post-farm study. The ones I'll be talking about are the five systems listed here. Right at the top, there's our fallow wheat system, which is under till, even though that's not a common system right now. It was kind of a baseline system to work with. And then in addition to that, we had a number of no-till systems. All those highlighted are no-till systems, and they are fallow wheat, continuous wheat, then a pea wheat rotation, which was in place 6 years, followed by an oilseed wheat rotation the last 4 years, so 10 years. And then a peat grain system that was in place for 10 years. And again, all those systems, the last four there on that list, are in place for 4 years. And in addition to that, we had what we refer to as an alfalfa perennial grass system. It was initiated in 2002 to mimic CRP, but in honesty, it was mostly alfalfa. So we did some soil sampling then in 2002 and also in 2012. These plots had two different nitrogen levels, and we took composite cores actually at two locations at each end of the subplots, three cores. We took soil measurements at both ends of the plots and averaged them to get the plot averages. The cores were broken out into different depth segments, 0 to 10, 10 to 20, and 20 to 30. And the cores, we were very careful processing the soils. They were sieved in our barrel sieve mill, and we removed all coarse plant root material before we milled them to a fine powder. Then for our carbon analysis, we measured total carbon with the LECO digestion analyzer, subtracted the soil inorganic carbon, and then the soil organic carbon mass was determined by from the concentration times the bulk density data. And then all the data I'm going to be presenting here, we've applied an equivalent mass principles of Hellert and Bettany to our data. So let's look at some of the results from the post farm. Okay, first thing I want to mention is 2002, we had about 37 metric tons of carbon in the upper 30 centimeters. And the thing you'll notice is that with our fallow wheat systems, we lost carbon. And a little history about this, it's a little vague from my end. I know we had, prior to establishing the site, this field was in continuous cropping for about 3 or 4 years. Prior to that, we're not sure what the history, but suffice it to say that with the fallow wheat systems, both the till and the no-till, there was a loss in carbon. The carbon losses were a little greater in the tilled system, however. So let's look at the annual cropping systems. And there we saw some gains in carbon. They were equivalent, though, across the three cropping systems, or those three annual cropping systems, the continuous wheat, the pea oilseed wheat, and then the pulse wheat rotation. And then finally, you'll see at the far right, we had a CRP system. From a statistical point, it was similar to the continuous cropping systems. I'll also mention we did have two nitrogen levels. As I was mentioning, I've averaged results of the two nitrogen levels, but there was some difference in soil organic carbon mass as affected by nitrogen level, though it was less important in terms of an absolute basis than the cropping system. It was like a difference of about 8.8 to 0.9 metric tons over that 10 years. So let's look at some of the differences in soil organic carbon mass between 2012 and 2002 over that 10-year life cycle. And what we'll see is that there's an effect of the cropping intensity on the those delta carbon mass. We're losing carbon in the first two systems, particularly the fallow wheat, and then for the annual cropping systems, we're gaining a little carbon, and then even a little bit more in the CRP. The net effect of annual cropping versus the tilled fallow wheat, represented by that orange arrow, is about 3.8 metric tons of carbon per hectare over 10 years. If we compare it to the no-till fallow wheat, and again, no-till is our most common system in Montana, so if we have fallow wheat systems in Montana, they're probably no-till. The difference between that and the annual cropping systems is about 2.1 metric tons of carbon. And again, that's the far left arrow. And on the far right, the effect of CRP was equivalent to about 3.3 metric tons of carbon relative to no-till fallow wheat. So those are kind of the results then we had from the post-farm study. So let's move on to the on-farm strip trials. These were conducted in growers' fields. They consisted of four strips. Basically some annual cropping systems compared to a fallow wheat system, and then with two tillage levels. But the tillage was kind of, in honesty, the growers in our where we conducted these studies, they're committed no-till growers, and they very reluctant to apply tillage. So really the most important effects we saw were related to cropping systems. The data we're talking about, again, a 10-year time window, beginning in most cases September 2002 and going into 2012. And so we did is we sampled at these star locations in these strips and looked at the differences over time. Five cores were collected around these permanent star locations. So let's move on. Our first trial I want to talk about is a trial up in northern Montana near the Canadian border. It's right below the Sweetgrass Hills. Annual precipitation is fairly dry. It's about 255 to 280 millimeter zone. Let's look at some of the results from that trial. And we saw similar effects from what we saw at the post farm. And in terms of the annual cropping, we were gaining carbon. We have two different axes presented here. On the left is the data for the 0 to 20 centimeters of mass, and on the right, the 0 to 50 centimeters of mass. So the scales are a little different. But the big picture we got was that we were gaining carbon with increasing cropping intensity, and the effects are significant. And the annual cropping resulted in a delta carbon mass of about 3.2 metric tons of carbon over the 10 years. Okay, so let's move on. I want to move on to some of the other trials. And the other trials were three of the other sites, and we had five locations. The data was kind of noisy. It was difficult to summarize. What happens in a lot of times in these long-term cropping system studies, and as a previous speaker was noting, you get a change of personnel, things are done a different way, and it's a job to try and summarize data from a long-term cropping system study. But what we saw generally was that there was some evidence of gains in carbon with the annual cropping or pulse wheat system relative to the fallow wheat systems. At least in two of the cases, the responses were significant at 10% level. At the Conrad location, the data was quite noisy, and we weren't able to show any significance to the cropping intensity. And again, all these locations are in fairly dry areas, 280 to 305 millimeters of precipitation. I want to move on to one other location, which was, to me, the most interesting one, was location at Fife. That precipitation zone is a little higher than the other zones, the other on-farm research areas. And those on-farm studies, I should mention, these are big field studies. Each one of those strips is about 8 hectares, or the whole field is about 80 acres. The annual precipitation is about 380 to 410 millimeters. And again, we saw considerable gains in carbon with annual cropping, the two bars on the right, from cropping intensity or the annual cropping systems. The annual cropping system in this case resulted in a soil or carbon accretion rate or accretion of 6.1 metric tons of carbon over 10 years. That was by far the highest carbon gains we observed among any of the locations. And the reason for that, surmising, is because of the clay content of the soil. That was the highest clay content soil we had. It had 55 to 60% clay. It's basically a vertisol. It has these huge cracks, and you can see that crack, they go down in excess of 20 inches, and you have to be careful. You can lose wrenches and other things if you're not careful out there. Anyways, it's classified as a vertisol. And it's the Lacustrian deposit. It was actually the bottom of glacial Lake Great Falls. Anyways, it's quite a sight. With in the fall, these cracks develop in the field, and they're just huge. So, just in summary, then the net soil organic net annual soil organic carbon accretion rate we observed at different sites, and what we saw in general was we were looking at about 0.2 to 0.3 metric tons of carbon per year with annual cropping. Just an average. That equates to about 1.1 metric tons of CO2 per hectare per year over those six sites, and I realize it was bumped up a little bit because of that location at five. And so taking that to another level, if we had 1.3 million hectares of fallow in Montana, as I mentioned originally, that gives us potential, if we went to an annual cropping system, say pulse wheat, fallow wheat to pulse wheat, and we could sequester about 1.4 million hectares or 1.4 million metric tons of carbon or CO2 per year. That's what I'm trying to say. So thank you very much. And
thank you very much.
Okay.
Do you have some time for a question?
Carbon was set very, very soon. So with the years, in Illinois, we did it given the degraded soil, it will probably 10 years ever to saturate it. Then it won't be increased for the next 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
So that's the decoder going to that.
Yeah. And I wish we could, like that one Fife location, I wish we could continue it, but it was on a grower field. It was, we were very fortunate to get the growers to cooperate for 10 years on that. So, but to me it was interesting to see the level of accretion we got in that field site.
What happened with bulk density? Did it decrease?
Okay, the best, with till, under the tilt system, the tilt systems will have a little lower bulk density at the surface, okay? Particularly at our post farm, I use this, what I call the mass equivalency basis, and basically the mass was all the fallow wheat tilt system was the lowest bulk density system, but only at the surface, okay? So yes, there was some differences, and I adjusted all those masses, so we, or all the carbon, so we reflected a similar organic carbon mass.
Okay.